Aaron Hager, extension weed scientist at the University of Illinois.
All right, Aaron, we're at the end of July. Dicamba, suspected dicamba damage. What is Illinois seeing?
Well, it's been a fairly common occurrence to see the symptoms of dicamba exposure on soybean this year, virtually in all parts of the state of Illinois. I think the last number that I had heard from our Department of Agriculture folks would be 115 official complaints have been filed here. But again, just using that number as a measure of how widespread this is in the state is to grossly underestimate reality. For every one report that's actually filed, it's hard to tell how many other instances have taken place that have never been filed. So I gave Dr. Bradley at the University of Missouri an estimate the other day of about 300,000 acres affected here in the state of Illinois. My guess is now, based on some further surveying work that we have done in terms of trying to ask some in the retail sector, if asked to give that number the same or a different number now, I would probably double that number.
All right. One of the makers of the new dicamba formula, Monsanto, has said in a blog post that there's over 10 million soybean acres planted in Illinois. And they estimate that there are significantly they say that there are significantly fewer inquiries in that state, appearing that the technology is working successfully on the overwhelming majority of the acres. Do you see that? Do you see it as a small number?
I have no idea where they came up with that statement. Right now, we're number three in the United States in terms of official complaints that have been filed. That number is, apparently that statement must have been pulled out of fantasy land, because that does not represent the state of Illinois whatsoever.
All right. In terms of identifying the direct correlation with dicamba drift, how are you doing that, and is that ongoing?
Well, there's no specific one avenue of exposure that's taken place. That's a bit of a misunderstanding. We certainly have instances, and we've seen fields where clearly it's a case of physical drift. Some have been physical drift from dicamba applied to a dicamba soybean field, and others we've seen instances of physical drift from a dicamba product applied to a corn field. But from what we have seen going around the state, those instances that were actually caused by physical drift are probably not the most common route of exposure. We've also seen many instances where clearly, based on the symptomology in the field and the pattern in the field, that exposure took place due to dicamba residues in a spray application piece of equipment that was used in a post-application to a non-dicamba soybean field. And clearly there's other instances where across the state we see fields of various size, whether it's maybe 20 acres in size, maybe it's 120 acres in size, where the symptoms we see are strikingly uniform from one side of the field to the other and headland to headland. Now, in my estimation, in my mind, in my experience, that is not physical drift, and that is not coming from an applicator or piece of application equipment, which strongly suggests we're looking at instances of perhaps either volatility or movement of dicamba that was sprayed during a temperature inversion condition.
And I know the University of Missouri is doing the studies on temperature inversion. Are you doing similar studies or anything different or complementary?
Well, we've actually looked at this year is looking at some of the gaps that we have in the literature and the data. And one that is, I think, pretty evident is the fact that we've got 50 years worth of research done on soybean exposure to dicamba. So certainly there's been a lot done already historically on this particular subject. But one place that there is a gap is really trying to understand or quantify the effect of not just one exposure event, but what happens to a soybean plant that's been exposed to dicamba perhaps on two separate occasions or maybe even three separate occasions. What would that do in terms of effect on the plant growth, and certainly what effect would that have on yield? And really in the scientific literature, there's not much information around that particular subject.
So given that the growing season isn't over, harvest hasn't begun, harvest hasn't ended, you intend to assess what you are seeing in some of these dicamba damaged fields?
Well, obviously that's going to be up to the farmer at the end of the growing season to determine whether or not there was an adverse impact on the yield. You can't stand in the soybean field right now at the end of July that's been impacted by dicamba and make any prediction whatsoever, any accurate prediction whatsoever, whether or not yield will be impacted. It cannot be done. I cannot overemphasize that enough. We've never been able to do that in 50 years, and I have no idea why people think that they can do it right now.
I guess I made the assumption that you guys had some trials with the dicamba damage and that you would be monitoring them. Is that the case?
Well, certainly that one that we just mentioned about the multiple exposure events. That's one that we will obviously take to yield to see what effect that more than one exposure of a known concentration of dicamba had on the soybean this year.
All right. Anything else, Aaron?
Again, you know, we just encourage people to remain vigilant over this. It's really, you know, a situation that, unfortunately, many of us, it was somewhat predictable that it was going to happen, but many of us had no idea what the scale and the magnitude of it was going to be. It's just very, very difficult, and we put this in a newsletter article that we published last week, to have soybean growing in the state where dicamba is used. It's really, the question is not if we will see these symptoms of off-target exposure. The more accurate question to always ask is what is going to be the scale and what is going to be the magnitude. It's always been that way, and it always will.
Are you frustrated by what you're hearing from the companies that make these products?
I would say both frustrated and extremely disappointed. I have never, ever seen the industry behave the way that they have around some of these issues. I've never seen such instances of denial that has taken place by the industry, and my hope is that I never see this again. This is the first time in 24 years of working here at the University of Illinois that I've ever seen this on this magnitude. It's not good. It's not helping the industry as a whole, and it certainly is not helping those involved in production agriculture, whether or not they've been affected by dicamba on dicamba soybeans or not.